When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are excited tonight. We have a fantastic show. We have some wonderful guests. This is John Massengill sitting in studio with Les Kaiser.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
What do you know, Mr. Kaiser? Did you spend some time out at Circuit of the Americas today?
I went out to the Cars and Coffee this morning. Somebody told me it might be the largest Cars and Coffee they ever had. If you're familiar with Circuit of the Americas and the parking situation out there, Lot A was almost entirely full of cars. And they were fantastic ones. I met several people from Houston. And so, folks, if you're not familiar with the geography of Texas, nothing's too close. That's about 3 hours away that came over this morning. They got up extra early.
Wow.
I got out there about 9:30, and there were Houston cars there. And, I got to say, it was a lot of fun, great activity. You know, I saw a lot of the COTA staff we know and work with. And
Texas is like a whole other country.
Are you kidding? We're not changing.
The producer's just so proud of himself right now.
I love smiling. It. Hey, you know, we've got him tuned
did
in.
Did you happen to see any of the piles of freshly dug up old asphalt out there?
I did not make it over there. I had another race car appointment I was headed to. But yeah, I heard that there's... You know, I'm thinking I'm going to sneak over there and like with my sandwich bag and get
a
sandwich bag.
I know, that's a great idea.
Don't tell anybody. I don't want Bobby Epstein chasing me down.
I still have some of the rocks in the bottom of my shoe that I went out there in 2012 before the track even opened.
Right.
Up on the corner of turn one, those little rocks up there.
That constitutes as evidence for trespassing, you know.
Hey, let me talk about who we got on the show tonight because we have a fantastic
good
show.
Good idea. Let's change topics.
Yeah. We're going to start off with we're going to start with an interview we did with the Aston Martin factory driver, Darren Turner, who's racing in the World Endurance Championship and is going to be here at COTA. In February, on February 22nd and 23rd, for the World Endurance Championship, coming back to COTA. And, we're going to be out there on the microphones, by the way. So listen for us out there that weekend.
I love that series.
I know. I'm so excited that they're back.
I truly do love that series. And I love all the things that go on out there. I recognized one of the families I met from Formula One this weekend, And he said, yeah, we're, you know, Formula One's the only race we've been to at COTA. And I said, oh.
He said, dude, you're missing out.
You're missing out, for one. And I rattled off the calendar for him. And he's like, well, I got to start saving up. And I said, well, yeah. Well, get this. Fans, the son is named after Jensen.
Oh, really?
His name is Jensen.
That's cool.
So I told him, I said, FIA WEC, when they come in, this is such a fantastic open paddock.
Yeah.
Come in. Jensen's going to meet more cars and drivers.
And there's so many drivers, too.
Yeah.
Just your odds of running into one are better. But yeah, so we've got Darren Turter coming on, and we got that interview we did with him. I interviewed him this morning. That wasn't live, but live at 7:30, we have Cooper McNeil, so an IMSA racer who's going to be racing the 24 Hours of Daytona
next
week.
He's one of those guys that have raced my favorite brands. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Not Corvette like you. I'm talking Porsche and Ferrari in his history is
he's yeah. probably raced a Corvette. This guy's raced just about everything. He's probably raced Corvettes, too.
No, he's awesome.
So we got him at 7:30. And then after that, we have Bob Varsha coming on.
One of the
legendary voices of motorsports. And, yeah, we're excited to have Bob on, get his thoughts about what's going on, and talk about his health a little bit, too. And so, we got a great show. Really excited about that. But we're going to go to break pretty quick because we want to get in this interview. But I got a few stories we want to talk about. Speaking of Circuit of the Americas, the W Series coming to Austin.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, this is a really exciting story.
This is big news. I was actually talking to Mason, one of our guys out there that we deal with, and Mason was telling me, he goes, you know, I was so proud that that's happening. And he asked me, he goes, but honestly, he goes, what do you think about the W Series?
Ah.
And I said, I understand your dilemma. And I said, I wish it wasn't something that was needed. And that, you know, we saw the women out on track as much as we see the men. But you know what? I'm glad somebody's stepping in and creating this series. And we've got a great connection to the W Series.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get the opportunity to meet a lot of the women in the W Series leading up to that event.
You know, the thing that really, I watched some of the racing. It was great. But the thing that really cemented why I was excited about it is after we had Jamie Chadwick on the show.
Jamie's awesome. So
impressive. I mean, just in every possible way. And she's obviously a great race driver because she won the inaugural series, too.
She is fantastic. But there's a lot of fantastic women that just don't get the TV time and the publicity out there. And that's what the W Series is doing.
And we got an American in there, Sabre Cook. Yep. So, yeah, they're going to bring, and they're going to be racing with Formula One. That's the exciting thing, is they're coming to COTA. But they're going to be racing with Formula One at Circuit of the Americas and at Mexico. And, you know, Formula One, I need to dig into this story because Formula One was publicizing this pretty heavily, too. I'm just excited. I mean, you know, the ultimate goal of all of this is if we have a woman driver in Formula One, wouldn't that?
Let's do this.
All right, let's see. What else? There's a couple other stories I want to get in before we go to break. Hinchcliffe driving the 500.
Yeah, we've been wondering what he's up to. He hasn't made a lot of public noise since over the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
A big way to make it.
Yep. And let's see. Oh, the Ford versus Ferrari movie. You know, when I went to this, when you and I went together and we sat on either side of a Le Mans winner, Price Cobb.
Yeah.
When, you know, somebody asked me the next day, they said, what did you think? And I said, it was borderline religious experience for me.
Yeah.
Because of, I really, not just because we were sitting with Price, but the movie was fantastic. And I wondered how good it was to everybody else who wasn't involved in racing. And there's your answer, because they've been nominated for 4 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, dude.
I got to tell you that we've got somebody that I ran into in a social event. He and his wife went to it. They're bicycle riders. They're not into motor racing of any type. And he said, we really went to it because we heard it was just a fantastic movie.
Yep.
My wife likes, you know, Matt Damon. And said, we came out of it and was like, that was a really interesting story. And so I talked with him a little bit. I said, okay, go to Netflix, watch Rush, watch the Netflix Formula One series, you know, that they put out for 2018 season.
Don't forget Uppity.
Yeah, Uppity's coming up.
I watched the 24 War. You know, Uppity is done by Chassis Media.
You bet.
Adam Carolla.
Yeah,
I watched the 24 War in the last few days, anyway. I watched that one, too. That was really good, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get our first break in because we're going to start with our first interview of the night with Mike Conway. You're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. You can take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Roger Hayden, Factory Yoshimura Suzuki. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Speed City.
All right, so our first interview of the night here is really excited because the World Endurance Championship is coming back to Austin. And this interview, I caught up with Darren Turner this morning. He is the factory driver for the Aston Martin racing team. He's got a heck of a job. Not only does he drive the race car for Aston Martin, but he also does some testing and other things for the factory cars, including he drove the new hypercar. So he's got a heck of a job. So let's go ahead and play this interview with Mike Conway. All right, Speed City fans, we are very excited. As you know, we have the World Endurance Championship coming back to Circuit of the Americas, and we have one of the drivers who's going to be racing in the World Endurance Championship here in Austin. We have Darren Turner, one of the world's, really one of the best drivers in the world, most experienced drivers everywhere from Formula One and now racing for the Aston Martin team since actually quite a while, since about 2005. And we're excited to have you and welcome to the show, Darren.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I've been with Aston for a long time, that's for sure. So when they came back to racing in 2005, I was just happened to be one of the guys that was part of the sort of existing team at ProDrive doing other types of racing. And when they came back, it was a great opportunity. And it's been a lot of fun all these years now to be still racing with Aston Martin. And I think it's now 15 years of racing with these guys. So really enjoying it. And it's great that we're coming back to Austin. It's always been a favorite of the guys that have been racing in the WEC Championship. And we were meant to be racing in Brazil, and that got changed. And it was just really fortunate for the whole of the sort of WEC Championship that Austin was available and were able to accommodate us at such a short notice. So looking forward to it now.
Well, you sound humble, and let's remind everybody, you've won the 24 Le Mans, what, three times?
Yeah, I mean, when Aston came back to the first one we did, it was 2005, and it took a couple of years, and we were racing always against Corvette, and they've always been one of those sort of titanic teams that's been very hard to beat, and it took us a couple of years with the DBR9 to get on top of what Corvette had been achieving. So we won it in 2007 with the DBR9, and then repeated that again in 2008. And then we had a few years in the LMP1 class, which wasn't really that successful. And then Aston Martin Racing came back to GT Racing, and it's been a lot of fun since we've come back to GT Racing. Again, always up against Corvette and the other manufacturers like Porsche and Ferrari and more recently Ford at Le Mans as well. But in 2017, we had our last sort of win there at Le Mans. And it would be nice if we could go back this year and try and be on the top step again. But the competition in GTE right now is so, so hard. And it's great because the manufacturers are all very competitive and they're all putting in the resources and making sure they've got good driver lineups. And it's nice to be in a championship where you're in a very competitive championship. It wouldn't be so much fun if it was easy to get a win. And you certainly feel like if you do get a win in this championship, in any of the races and including Le Mans, then you deserve it. And it's difficult to get that sort of position. But it feels very good when you do. So it's nice. It's nice to be back. And also, I've moved across from the pro class into the AM class with Paul Dallana and Ross Gunn for this season. So it's different. It's a completely different sort of mindset about the way that you go racing. And it's been successful so far since we've started together in 98 at Silverstone back in August.
Well, and it's got to feel special with the competition you're talking about. Like you said, there's some amazing competition. Corvette now with their mid-engine and Porsche and everybody else. It's really, it's a special thing to do well in this class. But let's talk about the season so far, and the way that the new super season style with WEC, with the season culminating in the 24 Hours of Le Mans. How's that been for you guys and how's this season been?
Yeah, it's completely sort of different. When I started racing, it was always done in a yearly sort of season. So your season may have kicked off in March and you sort of wrapped up in October and that was it. And now, there's so many championships that are going over sort of the winter period. And the WC is one of those seasons that is very much, in that transitional point where we've gone over the super season and now we run from late summer over the winter up until Le Mans and the 24 hours. So it's taken quite a few drivers and teams and everyone else to get used to it. And now it feels a bit more normal. But, Christmas, it was always the break was Christmas and you got some time to sort of relax and not worry about things. And now it's like, well, it's only in between two races. So you can't relax too much and you've got to keep the focus and make sure that when the racing starts again in the new year that you're sort of straight on it. So it's a different sort of mindset from what a normal racing season would be, but it's still a lot of fun, and it's become a bit more normal now. And we started, you know, Silverstone was okay. One of those races that was crazy with the weather, heavy rain midway through the race, and then back to sort of drier conditions towards the end. A normal Silverstone, windy and cold and wet and miserable at times, but we still ended up on the podium there, which was a bit of a surprise because at one point we picked up two drive-through penalties and we got blocked in the pits. And there was so many things that went on that at one point I thought, even if we finish in the top six, that's going to be good. So to have a podium, finish second was a good start to our campaign. And we've had a few unlucky races, both in Fuji and Shanghai. When Paul was in the car, he was taken out of the race at various points. And, you know, we've lost the opportunity of picking up some points there. But we've ended up on, I think now we've had three podiums already this year, so in this season. And we're sort of there or thereabouts in the points for the championship. So I think, you know, Kota is going to be one of those weekends that we really need to bag some big points again and just sort of continue building up that momentum and sort of push towards getting our first win of the season. That's the key at this point. We've just got to get a win under our belt just to get a bit of confidence in the team and sort of bag those big points.
Yeah, I love the fact that the Kota is where they are in the season now, because from here on out, you know, every race gets more important. And you know, going back to what you said about the season more normal, I think this is perfectly normal for World Endurance Championship to finish at Le Mans. I think it's fantastic. You know, there's you culminate with a Super Bowl-like atmosphere, and I think it's great that the season ends that way. But let's shift over and talk about Kota, because I know you've raced here before, and I mean, I've been at Kota for the World Endurance Championship, and I remember one year, I may have been 2014, we had this tremendous downpour right in the middle of the race, kind of a surprise. And the reason I'm talking about the weather is because we don't know what the weather is going to be like in February 23rd. It could be 85 degrees, or it could be snowing. And so we don't know what's going to happen. So I'm sure you guys are going to be prepared for anything. But what is what is that variation? What does that look like for you guys prepping?
Yeah, I think the main thing is, with the wet tires, we only have one selection there, so that's easy with the weather like that. But it's the slick tire where we have three options available to us, and they're all sort of dependent on temperature range. But we're only allowed to nominate two of those. So before the event, a long time before the event, so it means that Michelin have a chance to produce the tire and ship the tires to the event. The teams have to sort of put in their request of what they want for that race weekend. So it's very hard for the race team, the race engineers, to really sort of try and second guess what the weather will be like. So especially when it's the time of year that it could be, like you say, any type of weather, really high temperatures or very cold. So I think on this occasion, we've gone for Austin being a bit colder than previous years. And, you know, that's helped with our tire selection. And in 2014, when we had that sort of huge rainfall in the middle of the race, where they sort of red flagged the race for a period of time. Again, that was a bit of a surprise for everyone, because certainly for if you race mainly in Europe, never anyone says, right, you're going to go, there's a race in America this weekend, you're going out there, you just think, I need to pack my shorts and my sunglasses. And that's caught me out a few times in all these years of racing, is that, you know, again, it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be blue skies and the sun's going to be out. So, you've just got to be ready for everything. And, you know, one of the benefits of certainly racing in the UK is that we get a lot of rain and decent amount of experience of racing in the rain. So if it rains in Kota, it's not going to be a big deal for most of the teams. I think the one thing is, maybe with the resurfacing that we understand has happened, it'd be interesting to see where the big puddles are, if there's any rivers, and, you know, just trying to learn sort of where to avoid having a problem with the rain, etc.
But I want to talk about the car. I mean, and the brand Aston Martin. You've got one of the most fantastic jobs in the world, working for a brand like Aston Martin with their rich racing history. And now that you guys are running the new version of the Vantage with the 4-liter twin turbo, and I mean, you've got to be excited every time you go out there and see that thing.
You know, I had a very soft spot for the previous generation Vantage, and it was a great car, and we raced it for 6 years, and obviously a normally aspirated V8, it's got a certain note of to the engine. So, you know, we all had success in that car, and that transition period to the new car with the turbo, so everyone getting used to driving with turbo cars. But, you know, I think every driver in the team is really pleased with how the car's progressed, how it's developed from those early test days, and you can see it's been really successful with the amount of wins that it's had under its belt already in the WC as a GTE car. And then you look at what it's been doing on the world scene as a GT3 car as well. So, you know, it is really good from certainly as a British driver to be driving for Aston Martin. It's a brand that's is very special to everyone here in the UK. And then to be representing that brand around the world at, on a world sort of level of a championship is very special for me. So, yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, look at the product range that they've got at the moment on the road cars with the Vantage out there, the DB11, the DBS, and now everyone's looking forward to seeing how the DBX sort of goes down with people in the SUV sort of world. So it's going places, and that's the nicest thing. We've been going places on the racetrack for a while now, and the company certainly in the last sort of 5-6 years is really sort of building momentum now. So it's good to see, and hopefully that sort of keeps us all out there racing and flying the flag for Aston Martin.
Talk about the actual track, Circuit of the Americas, and the characteristics of the track, and what do you think of when you think of racing here at COTA?
Well, I mean, obviously the track sort of changed over the years with the bumps that came along, and I like that. You know, I like the circuit gaining character from being perfect. You know, perfect isn't always fun. And I think, you know, most drivers, having experienced lots of different circuits around the world, generally enjoy going to race in America because it's a little bit more old school in the way that the circuits are. You know, one of my all-time favorites is Sebring. And then you sort of end up going to a Grand Prix circuit. And honestly, most of them have lost a bit of their character. But the nice thing about COTA is it's kept, you know, when it was designed, it kept a lot of character to it. With the elevation change, it's quite dramatic in certain places. You know, once you get down the hill into sort of turn 3, 4, 5, 6, all that, that run through there, those curbs can really, really damage a car. So you have to be absolutely accurate at reasonably high speed through that, that section. And, you know, it just makes for a great circuit in terms of the challenge. And also I think from a paddock's point of view, you know, we travel around the world and it's nice to go somewhere that is fun. And that's always been the case about racing at COTA, but also just being in Austin itself. You know, it's one of those races on the calendar that people look forward to. And you can't say that about every racing circuit. And you just want, sometimes you sort of go, okay, we've got this one coming up now. Hopefully we get a result, but there it's a sort of a means to an end where the whole experience of going to Austin is a different one. It's a fun week of stuff on the circuit and off the circuit as well. So certainly, again, the teams really enjoy it, which is, you know, good to see as well.
We talk about the gap where you guys did not, the FIAWC World Endurance Championship did not come back to Austin last year, and you're back. And I know it was kind of a last minute thing to add to the calendar, but, you know, since in the last couple of years, let's say, it feels like, and in fact, the numbers show it, that COTA's picking up some momentum. You know, Austin wasn't a race town in 2012 when COTA opened its doors, but we're really building some momentum, and I'm expecting a pretty good crowd for this. I mean, I know it's somewhat last minute, but I think Austin's growing in that way, and around the, you know, it's known around the world and around the United States. But I really hope to see a good crowd here, and for you guys in February. But you know, do you think there's a chance that we could start seeing WEC come back consistently?
I hope so. I mean, I think from everyone who's sort of doing the racing and the teams and that, it's always high on the list of a place that people have enjoyed. So that's the key. You know, if the teams all like it, then why would you not want to go back to somewhere like that? But, you know, there's always different things that are under sort of, you know, as part of WEC, that their challenges of putting the calendar together. And and I think most people were disappointed when WEC Austin wasn't part of the last sort of season. So it'd be great if it became again, a regular feature. And hopefully that can happen. But, you know, from a driver's perspective, it's one of the fun races. So, yeah, it'd be great if it could be always part of the season. And we should be racing in America. You know, the WEC should be over there at some point during the season. It should be part of our calendar. So, let's see. Maybe this becomes a bit more of a regular addition to the calendar going forward from now.
Well, Darren Turner, we want to let you get back to your family. Tell everybody what to look for and when you get here to Coda, the car number, and maybe even a little social media stuff so everybody knows how to follow you.
Yeah, so it's we're going to be in 98. That's with Ross Gunn and Paul Dallalana. So I think it's Aston Martin Racing on Twitter and on Instagram. And then I'm on both of those as Darren Turner 007. Although I'm not like a James Bond person, but at one point I did race a river car with 007, so I picked that as my handle. So we really look forward to being there in a couple of weeks' time, and hopefully lots of people will come down and watch the race.
All right, Darren, thanks a lot for coming back on Speed City. We appreciate it, and good luck when you get to Austin, and we'll look you up and come say hi.
Okay, cheers, John. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Yeah, heck of a nice guy. Excited to have them back.
Oh, I love how much he was excited to come back to Austin. Like you said, you know, you want a result, but he's coming back to Austin with grin.
All right, well, let's go straight to break because we have another guest waiting on the line. We got Cooper McNeil. You're listening to Speed City. We're in Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipe since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Magnus Walker. Greetings from downtown LA, and thanks for tuning in to Speed City. Keep Austin weird and get out and drive. Pedal to the metal. Like
welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. In less than a week, the Rolex 24 kicks off the racing season.
Boom.
Get your television ready. Get your laptop ready. Get your iPhone.
Football.
Football. Yeah. Listen, don't worry. If there's anybody that's a football fan, they're not listening now because there's a couple of big games going on.
Oh, whatever.
How about them Cowboys?
No,
who?
Not,
who?
Not the Cowboys. But no, in 6 days, the Rolex 24 at Daytona kicks off, and our next guest is going to be driving a Ferrari. So we want to welcome to the show Cooper McNeil. Cooper, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate you having me on this evening.
Thank you very much. He's going to be the driver for the WeatherTech Racing Scuderia Corsa Ferrari.
I got to tell you, I'm already jealous of Cooper. If you looked at his racing history, he's been in all three of the coolest cars, the Vette, the Porsche, and now the Ferrari. Come on now.
Yeah, you got a heck of a career, Cooper.
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate the recognition. I'll be honest. You have this big American car with the Corvette, but me being 6'5", I didn't fit in the thing at all.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't fit in it.
I watched a YouTube interview today with you, and there was a guy that basically had his arm extended up, and I was like, how tall is Cooper McNeil? I meant to look that up. So 6'5", how the heck? You're in the wrong sport, man. I don't know. You hardly fit in any cars.
Yeah, no kidding. You don't know how many times I've heard that before. But honestly, I've worked a lot with Ferrari to get me to fit in the race car. I mean, The seat is stationary, but as far as the pedals and the steering wheel goes, they move a lot for me, a lot more than they normally did before. So big thanks to them for working with me, getting me fitting not only comfortably but safely in the thing.
You know, I went to Skip Barber many years ago, and I got into that little Formula Ford. And, you know, they pull off the nose, and the guy was like...
John's pretty tall, too.
Yeah, here. I'm about 6'3", and he looked down in there, and he goes, I had my big old, you know, tennis shoes on, and he goes, this is not going to work. He said, your feet, you're going to be hitting at least two pedals at a time. And I ran over to Walmart or something and bought some wrestling shoes and made that work. But, yeah, so I feel your pain a little bit. But yeah,
I
man.
I know the feeling.
So. Well, hey, we want to talk about what's coming up in a few days here. The Rolex 24, racing a Ferrari... tell us what you've been doing, what's going on about getting prepped, and how's it going so far?
Yeah, sure. Actually, next weekend I'm racing two different Ferraris. I'm racing the Ferrari Challenge Series again for the fourth year in a row. I've won it, won the championship the last 2 years in a row in that series, and looking forward to being back there. So I actually start the 24-hour weekend with two 30-minute races in the challenge car Thursday night and Friday night, two night races, which is the first time in Ferrari Challenge North American history.
That's cool.
Doing two night races at Daytona, which should be cool. And then shortly thereafter is Saturday starting the 24-hour. So busy weekend for me. I mean, I've been in a Ferrari last year almost every weekend of the year. So a lot of seat time contributing to the continued success. But, yeah, next weekend's going to be a really busy weekend for me with a doubleheader going on.
Yeah, you need to start, you know, carb loading and getting extra hours of sleep. But, you know, it's funny. This a little bit of a random question. I haven't asked a lot of race drivers this question. I don't know what made me think of it. Maybe it's just your upcoming schedule. But I was watching the Netflix series Formula One, and I saw the episode where Roman Grosjean was doing some things for his mental health. You guys, you know, we talk all about physical and all that stuff. What do you guys do? Do you have meditation? What do you do for your mental health?
I would say relaxation and meditation for me works the best. No sort of pharmaceutical made medication is gonna help any of that, nor would it be the right way to go. But in my sport, I mean, it's so fast paced, and you know, even though it's a 24-hour long race, every single lap, every single corner is flat out because the cars, knock on wood, are so reliable these days that the pace is unseen, unheard of. It's way faster than it ever has been in previous years. So for me, slowing down a little bit, relaxation, a little bit of meditation, and removal from the extremely fast-paced sport that we're in is imperative for me. I mean, especially when trying to recover and go fast again after a 3 hour long stint in the car from, you know, who knows, say midnight to 3 a.m.
That's always interesting to me. So as far as training, we had Alexander Rossi on one time, and he was talking about his physical training and how he works through the mental exercises that he essentially has like a stair climber or a treadmill going on. And yet he's got an exercise for his mental capacities of doing math and solving puzzles and problems while he's doing that. Do you combine anything like that to keep your mental dexterity going too?
I mean, there's a fair amount of, you know, mental calculation going on within a race car, but no, I personally don't. I mean, a lot of it for me is natural reflexes and reactions. So, you know, sitting at a desk with a piece of paper trying to do a math puzzle, you have all the time in the world. There's no gun to your head to make a, you know, split second decision, but in the race car, that's the complete opposite. So for me, it's a lot of quick reaction, and I'm fortunate enough and lucky enough to be in a race car just about every weekend of the year. So the seat time alone is preparation in itself to continue to be better.
Well, who's going to be driving with you, and what kind of stints are you guys looking at?
So I have Tony Wielander, who's a factory Ferrari driver of 15 years with me for the full season, as well as Alessandro Balzan, two-time IMSA GT champion, back in the car after a health issue. First time back in pro racing since then, so about a year and a half ago. And then the other silver-rated driver that we had with us last year, Jeff Westfall, who won the GS championship and the other IMSA championship. So three really, really good, fast, consistent, reliable guys And you know, I could trust them to bring the car home in one piece. And the stint time is about 55 minutes for a stint on fuel. So we'll be in the car for anywhere from 1 to 3 stints at any given time. So 1 to 3 hours, essentially, with a minimum drive time per the rules of about 6 hours, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm, awesome.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, I got to talk a little bit away from the track if you're done talking track.
Sure. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, now I've figured out that Cooper has two of the coolest cars. One is an absolute favorite of mine. He's got a 1960s 250 GT Ferrari.
Ooh.
Dude, you don't know how much I adore that car. I mean, you know, I know everybody thinks James Bond, Aston Martin. This is it, but fast.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous. What is that like to drive? I'm seriously just like hanging on the edge here.
Well, first of all, thank you. But I got to be honest. I don't have that car. It's my father's car, so it belongs to him. Not me, however.
You didn't get grounded away from it, did you?
Yeah, no, of course not. But no, I get the rare and humble opportunity to be able to drive the thing. But honestly, if I had to describe it in one word, it'd be a 3-letter word, and that's raw. The car has no electronic nannies like all current cars today.
Right.
No power steering, no power brakes, no traction control, no stability control. No BS. The car is, it talks to you while you're driving it. Every bump, every curve, every input, every output you feel through the steering wheel, through the pedals, and it really talks to you and tells you what it likes and what it doesn't like. However, at the same time, it's a sweetheart. The car drives extremely well. You could drive it as a civilized street car on the street, or you could drive it on the racetrack.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Magnus Walker. Greetings from downtown LA, and thanks for tuning in to Speed City. Keep hustling weird and get out and drive. Pedal to the metal.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. In less than a week, the Rolex 24 kicks off the racing season.
Boom.
Get your television ready. Get your laptop ready. Get your iPhone.
Football.
Football. Yeah. Listen, don't worry. If there's anybody that's a football fan, they're not listening now because yeah. there's a couple of big games going on.
Oh, whatever.
How about
them Cowboys? No.
Who?
Not,
Who?
Not the Cowboys. But no, in 6 days, the Rolex 24 at Daytona kicks off, and our next guest is going to be driving a Ferrari. So we want to welcome to the show Cooper McNeil. Cooper, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate you having me on this evening.
Well, thank you very much. He's going to be the driver for the WeatherTech Racing Scuderia Corsa Ferrari.
I got to tell you, I'm already jealous of Cooper. If you looked at his racing history, he's been in all three of the coolest cars, the Vette, the Porsche, and now the Ferrari. Come on now.
Yeah, you got a heck of a career, yeah. Cooper.
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate the recognition. I'll be honest. You have this big American car with the Corvette, but me being 6'5", I didn't fit in the thing at all.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't fit in it.
I watched a YouTube interview today with you, and there was a guy that basically had his arm extended up, and I was like, how tall is Cooper McNeil? I meant to look that up. So 6'5", how the heck? You're in the wrong sport, man. I don't know. You hardly fit in any cars.
Yeah, no kidding. You don't know how many times I've heard that before. But honestly, I've worked a lot with Ferrari to get me to fit in the race car. I mean, the seat is stationary, but as far as the pedals and the steering wheel goes, they move a lot for me, a lot more than they normally did before. So big thanks to them for working with me, getting me fitting not only comfortably but safely in the thing.
You know, I went to Skip Barber many years ago, and I got into that little Formula Ford. And, you know, they pull off the nose, and the guy was like—
John's pretty tall, too.
Yeah, here. I'm about 6'3", and he looked down in there, and he goes— I had my big old, you know, tennis shoes on, and he goes, this is not going to work. He said, your feet, you're going to be hitting at least two pedals at a time. And I ran over to Walmart or something and bought some wrestling shoes and made that work. But yeah, so I feel your pain a little bit, but yeah, yeah,
I know the feeling. So.
Well, hey, we want to talk about what's coming up in a few days here. The Rolex 24 racing a Ferrari. Tell us what you've been doing. What's going on about getting prepped and how's it going so far?
Yeah, sure. Actually, next weekend I'm racing two different Ferraris. I'm racing the Ferrari Challenge Series again for the fourth year in a row. I've won it, won the championship the last 2 years in a row in that series, and looking forward to being back there. So I actually start the 24-hour weekend with two 30-minute races in the Challenge car Thursday night and Friday night, two night races, which is the first time in Ferrari Challenge North American history.
That's cool.
Doing two night races at Daytona, which should be cool. And then shortly thereafter is Saturday starting the 24-hour. So busy weekend for me. I mean, I've been in a Ferrari last year, almost every weekend of the year. So a lot of seat time contributing to the continued success. But yeah, next weekend's going to be a really busy weekend for me with a doubleheader going on.
Yeah, you need to start, you know, carb loading and getting extra hours of sleep. But, you know, it's funny. This a little bit of a random question. I haven't asked a lot of race drivers this question. I don't know what made me think of it. Maybe it's just your upcoming schedule, but I was watching the Netflix series Formula One, and I saw the episode where Roman Grosjean was doing some things for his mental health. You guys, you know, we talk all about physical and all that stuff. What do you guys do? Do you have meditation? What do you do for your mental health?
I would say relaxation and meditation for me works the best. No sort of pharmaceutical made medication is gonna help any of that. Nor would it be the right way to go. But In my sport, I mean, it's so fast paced, and you know, even though it's a 24 hour long race, every single lap, every single corner is flat out because the cars, knock on wood, are so reliable these days that the pace is unseen, unheard of. It's way faster than it ever has been in previous years. So for me, slowing down a little bit, relaxation, a little bit of meditation, and removal from the extremely fast-paced sport that we're in is imperative for me. I mean, especially when trying to recover and go fast again after a 3 hour long stint in the car from, you know, who knows, say midnight to 3 a.m.
That's always interesting to me. So as far as training, we had Alexander Rossi on one time, and he was talking about his physical training and how he works through the mental exercises that he essentially has like a stair climber or a treadmill going on. And yet he's got an exercise for his mental capacities of doing math and solving puzzles and problems while he's doing that. Do you combine anything like that to keep your mental dexterity going too?
I mean, there's a fair amount of, you know, mental calculation going on within a race car, but no, I personally don't. I mean, a lot of it for me is natural reflexes and reactions. So, you know, sitting at a desk with a piece of paper trying to do a math puzzle, you have all the time in the world. There's no gun to your head to make a, you know, split second decision. But in a race car, that's the complete opposite. So for me, it's a lot of quick reaction, and I'm fortunate enough and lucky enough to be in a race car just about every weekend of the year. So the seat time alone is preparation in itself to continue to be better.
Well, who's going to be driving with you, and what kind of stints are you guys looking at?
So I have Tony Velander, who's a factory Ferrari driver of 15 years with me for the full season, as well as Alessandro Balzan, two-time IMSA GT champion, back in the car after a health issue. First time back in pro racing since then, so about a year and a half ago. And then the other silver-rated driver that we had with us last year, Jeff Westfall, who won the GS championship and the other IMSA championship. So three really, really good, fast, consistent, reliable guys. And, you know, I could trust them to bring the car home in one piece. And the stint time is about 55 minutes for a stint on fuel. So we'll be in the car for anywhere from 1 to 3 stints at any given time. So 1 to 3 hours, essentially, with a minimum drive time per the rules of about 6 hours, if I'm not mistaken.
Awesome.
Very cool. Very cool. You know, I got to talk a little bit away from the track if you're done talking track.
Sure. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, now I've figured out that Cooper has two of the coolest cars. One is a absolute favorite of mine. He's got a 1960s 250 GT Ferrari.
Ooh.
Dude, you don't know how much I adore that car. I mean, you know, I know everybody thinks James Bond, Aston Martin. This is it, but fast.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous. What is that like to drive? I'm seriously just like hanging on the edge here.
Well, first of all, thank you. But I got to be honest. I don't have that car. It's my father's car, so it belongs to him.
You didn't get grounded away from it, did you?
Yeah, no, of course not. But no, I get the rare and humble opportunity to be able to drive the thing. But honestly, if I had to describe it in one word, it'd be a 3-letter word, and that's raw. The car has no electronic nannies like all current cars today.
Right.
No power steering, no power brakes, no traction control, no stability control, no BS. The car it talks to you while you're driving it. Every bump, every curve, every input, every output you feel through the steering wheel, through the pedals, and it really talks to you and tells you what it likes and what it doesn't like. However, at the same time, it's a sweetheart. The car drives extremely well. You could drive it as a civilized street car on the street, or you could drive it on the racetrack and it acts like a race car. The chassis itself is so well balanced that you throw it into a corner and expect it to understeer or oversteer, a combination of two, and you just don't see that. So the car is extremely special to drive, and it's nice, you know, driving a 12-cylinder Ferrari with a proper 6-speed, 5-speed manual gearbox and matching revs on heel-toe downshifts.
Oh, yeah.
And matching the perfect engine note with the perfect rev count on downshifts is extremely satisfying for me.
See, and that's what I was talking about. I mean, people that don't know this car, it's got everything you want. It's got the wicked Ferrari sound. It's got the handling. It's gorgeous. I mean, absolutely gorgeous in any color, and it is. And when I found out this was listed and associated with you and your dad, I was like, that is seriously the, you know, lottery car for me. But I know you also got another one. You know how manufacturers do invitational cars and only certain people of certain caliber or certain interest to Ferrari get them.
Or is this his dad again?
I don't know. We're going to find out. He got a 488 Pista Piloti invitation. How'd that turn out?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The car is unreal. A funny story about that car. So, yeah, like you said, you have to be invited by Ferrari to purchase the thing. But got one of them in the Tour de France blue, one of four colors they offered in that particular car. And the car we bought through Ferrari Beverly Hills, which happens to be owned by my race team owner, Giacomo Mattioli, part of his automotive group. So the car was delivered to California. We happen to own a home in Pebble Beach, Monterey area in Northern California. So the car was delivered there shortly after it went to the dealership. And since then, I personally live in Chicago. So since then, the car has been stuck out there because my old man, he said, which I wouldn't say he's wrong, but he said that he said my pista is in jail because either it would be or I would be, and he'd rather have the car be in jail than myself. So with a 760 horsepower street car, he's not only figuratively but literally put the thing in jail in California and won't let me have it back home here in Chicago. So that's quite interesting.
That's about 250 horsepower more than the car you're going to be racing in a few days, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right. With the way IMSA has it BOP'd, you're absolutely right.
That's cool. That's cool.
But I will tell you this. The car spins the rear wheels through fourth gear. Don't ask me how I know, but I can verify that.
Wow. Well, listen, Cooper McNeil, we really appreciate you coming on the show. The best of luck this coming weekend in both race series that you're racing, Thursday night, Friday night, and then the 24 hours. We really want to wish you best of luck and appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, appreciate you, gentlemen, for having me, and thank you so much. We hope to bring home some wins, so we're going to be pushing hard. Thank you.
All righty, travel safe.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
All right, well, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, the legendary motorsport commentator Bob Varsha is going to join us, and we're going to pick his brain and learn everything we possibly can in the next 15 minutes. You're listening
always
to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
We are very excited to have our next guest back on the show. One of the voices that we've all listened to over the years, and one of the best.
He's not done.
I know, but I'm just saying he's a legendary voice in our sport, and very excited to have him on the show. Bob Varsha, welcome back to Speed City.
Thanks very much, guys. It's been a long time. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, it has been a little while. Too long. We need to have you on more often.
We need you to find your way back to Austin again.
Hey, anytime. I love Austin.
Well, Bob, thanks for coming on. And yeah, we want to talk to you about lots of things going on. I want to pick your brain a little bit on Formula One. And in fact, let's start there. And what do you think about a couple things? Number one, the state of Formula One. And, you know, at points last year, thinking of up through the French Grand Prix, it looked like a disaster, a meltdown. And people were saying Liberty Media was doing a bad job. And then beyond that, it turned out to really finish to be a great season.
Yeah, I did. And I expect more of that in the future, if only because the radical new rules coming on in 2021 are going to make next year kind of an interim year. With mildly evolved cars and last year's tires, since the teams unanimously decided they don't like what Pirelli proposed for next year, I think it's going to be more of the same. Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes will be dominant. Ferrari hopefully saw the error of their ways last year, and we'll get some of that straightened out. And Charles Leclerc will be unleashed alongside Sebastian Vettel. And we all know that probably the best story last year was Red Bull Honda coming good. And young Mr. Verstappen could be a factor. So, you know, with that, the rest of the field will figure out how to approach this really interesting year, because with a radical new car to be built in 2021, you've got to decide how to divide your resources to get ready for that while at the same time having a representative effort in 2020. So I think the biggest story next year is going to be driver contracts as much as anything else as everybody looks towards 2021.
That is a good point, because there's so many going to be up in the air. And you're right, with these young guys that we've got right now, a lot of young, exciting drivers. It's fun to watch. But
it's great time in Formula One for young talent coming up. Absolutely.
Well, what do you think about the job that Liberty Media has done overall? You know, we've talked about the way they've gone more digital. That was the low hanging fruit. But what about the way they've handled everything else?
Well, you know, I'm not being on the inside, I'll cut them some slack. Formula One is such a unique and peculiar business model, centered, of course, around Bernie Ecclestone, who ran it like his own personal fiefdom for so many years, did deals on the side, all sorts of palace intrigue, a lot of bluff and bluster. And now along comes Liberty Media, a corporate giant in the media business, who do things a certain way, a very different way, I'm sure, than the way Bernie did things. And so to maximize on their investment, they had to get used to Bernie's way of doing things and kind of gently try to turn that ship, which I'm sure is a lot like trying to turn a super tanker. It doesn't move quickly. But I will say they seem to have gotten an awful lot done. They'll get new deals in place. I think everybody realizes that a rising tide raises all boats, so they have to be cooperative to a certain extent. Perhaps a wrench in the works could be the fact that two of the key people, the commercial director Sean Bratches and Chase Carey, who's the CEO, if you will, are talking about moving on.
Yeah.
So we have the possibility of new faces, new philosophies, and so on coming on board, and that could be really interesting to watch. But I think, yeah, Liberty Media realized early on that this was a very different animal than they thought they were taking by the tail. They've had to adjust, and I think in large part they have.
I think I would agree with you that for the most part, when they first announced it, I mean, there was a lot of overseas, like, oh my gosh, are we going to turn Formula One into NASCAR? Are they going to Americanize it too much?
WWE or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then when they had the fireworks and the, what's the guy's name that does
the announcer,
the Rumble guy, I forgot his name. Anyway, they had all that, and everybody was thinking, are they going to really radically change the sport? And
you're talking about Michael Buffer?
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and all of that.
It's a very different personality,
if
nothing else.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people inside Formula One would agree that there was something needed, and whether it was that classic American razzmatazz or not, the United States remains the number one market in the world for motorsports. Formula One wanted to be there. Bernie wanted to be there with multiple races. Liberty Media wants to be there with multiple races. It hasn't happened yet, but I think the folks from Liberty have a much more flexible, business-like attitude when it comes to dealing with possibilities. And they embraced a lot of technologies, social media, and other things that Bernie really had no time for. And I think that's, on balance, helped Formula One a lot, particularly with companies like Red Bull and the car manufacturers and so on, who want to engage with a different kind of crowd than Bernie Ecclestone felt he was catering to.
And I think the business model that we're hearing Liberty Media work with is a big difference We just saw in the news this week, Azerbaijan credits their income of over $500 million for last year's race being hosted in their locale. And that's not something that you would usually hear in the Bernie Ecclestone era. It was more, you know, they made some profit, but they wasn't anything crazy. And I think the model of a revenue share and helping with the ops cost has really changed it. I think we're going to see a big difference around that.
Yeah, well, Formula One has always been, a great feather in the cap of any country. How they go about getting a Formula One race varies from place to place, usually writing a big check out of the national treasury, which, of course, won't happen here in the United States. I saw those same numbers from Azerbaijan, and I think what they were talking about there was the income to the country, to Baku as a city, and the tourism and the boost they got from being on the Formula One stage. And, yeah, it was a pretty staggering number over the short duration of that race thus far.
Yeah, you know what? That number, $500 million, is exactly the number, or within a few, that they've quoted here in Austin. Austin, you know, Austin hosts these mega conferences, South by Southwest and ACL. Mm-hmm. And I think it was ACL had a study done, and this was a few years ago, and then Bobby Epstein smartly grabbed that same company, did an apples-to-apples comparison, and the ACL Fest showed an impact economic impact of $350 million to Austin, and Formula One had over $500 million economic impact, and the circuit itself had an over $800 million impact on the city. And this is, you know, he still wrote the check to pay for the study, but it was an apples-to-apples, so there's probably some pretty good credibility to it, but similar number, about $500 million economic impact. I mean, those are pretty astounding numbers.
Yeah, that's a great argument to have in your pocket when you go to try to make arrangements for public support, even if it's not money, but just in-kind services, that sort of thing. There's not many events year after year that will produce that kind of return.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to ask you something about our American Formula One team. You know, the Haas F1 team came out of the gate, besides the wheels coming off in Australia a couple of years in a row, but they've come out and done an amazing job. And this past season, they really, really struggled with the tires. They talked about it, with the tiny little window of operating temperature in the tires, and never could quite get everything right.
Yeah.
What do you think about what they've done, and do you think that they're going to get back on track and continue that upward trajectory that they had for the first 3 years?
Well, I suppose, you know, one of the big drawbacks of having big early success is that sooner or later you're going to come up with something less, and it's going to look like a total disaster. Having said that, yeah, the Haas team had their problems last year after a couple of seasons of surprisingly good results. I think it's just fairly typical of the model that, you know, the lower tier teams, if you will, without denigrating anybody, if you're not one of the big three or four, then you're, you know, one of the seven dwarfs. And that can be tough. Where do you go when you've created this team, you've got your system down, you have your people in place, you have some early success, you try something and it kind of blows up. And Haas was not the only team that had trouble with those tires last year. I mean, you look at the poor Williams squad. I mean, they just could not get out of their own way. And there were other teams up and down the grid that were complaining about the tires, which made it all the more interesting, I think, when Pirelli rolled out proposed tires for next year, and the teams all tried them and said, nope, you know, give us the 2019 tires.
Yeah.
I think Haas's problems are fixable. And I think Gene Haas and Gunther Steiner and all those people certainly are more than smart enough to realize that, and we'll get some fixes made.
You know, I want to step back just a little bit because we talked about it earlier in the show a little bit, but what have you watched the full Netflix series Drive to Survive, number one? But also, I have seen over and over everybody from Formula One, outside Formula One, commentators talk about what a smart thing that was to try to embrace the United States audience. And just anecdotally, the people that in my sphere... I've had some people that I have friends or whatever that don't follow motorsports at all, but they say they absolutely love that Netflix series. And I personally
kind of behind
think
the curtain.
Yeah, I think it was a brilliant move.
Yeah, I think so too. I saw the first season series. I haven't seen the second, I don't even know if it's released yet,
yeah,
to be honest.
It's not out yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting how, you know, Ferrari and Mercedes, who said no thanks the first year, took a look at what they did and said, oh, yeah, come on in. Yeah, we're all in for season two.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's obviously a good thing. You know, it's a famous movie director once said, you have to have conflict. You have to have that kind of abrasion, you know, the real life values going down. It's not all sweetness and light. It's not champagne and supermodels and super yachts and all that kind of thing and fast cars and blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of hard work, and there's a lot of conflict within the teams, personalities, and so on. It's really, really difficult to compete in Formula One. Even if you're not competitive, it's hard just to be there. And, of course, Gunther Steiner comes off as Captain F-Bomb, and he's going to have to try to live that down. But, you know, you could just see the intensity. You could see how hard the drivers were trying and how it was going wrong time and again. It's just really, really difficult. And I thought that the Netflix series really caught the compelling nature of trying to work in that environment.
Yeah, I interviewed Gunther Steiner, and he said that he was actually kind of embarrassed about all that. But
I'm sure he was. Yeah.
Well, Bob, I want to talk. We've got about 2.5-3 minutes left. I want to talk a couple things. One, I want to I want to talk about your health, because I know that there's been a lot of people worried about you, and you've shared quite a bit on social media about your diagnosis with prostate cancer. And when I saw that, it was just a kick in the gut. I know it's a very survivable form of cancer. My dad had that for many years, but I'm really excited to see, and we're going to share the GoFundMe page, that it's doing really well.
Are you kidding? We're not just sharing. We're challenging everybody. We made a donation tonight at Speed City, and we want our fans to pop in there and support the best Uncle Bob anybody could have.
I really appreciate that, guys. It's, you know, as you can imagine, a diagnosis of prostate cancer kind of turns your life upside down.
Yeah.
And so I've had to make a lot of quick adjustments to my work schedule, to my personal schedule, to my family schedule, to seek out the best doctors I could find. And I think I've found them. The support from everybody out there has been just fabulous. You know, I thought for a while about trying to keep all this quiet, but then I thought, why am I doing that? It's going to get out sooner or later. And there's so much good that can be done if I put my story out there, as my colleague Brian Till did before me, saying, look, guys, this can happen to you. Don't rely on the traditional, you know, don't wait to talk to your doctor, putting it off. Get checked. Don't rely on the traditional red flag for prostate cancer indication, which is your PSA test in the blood. Get the digital rectal exams. They're a little bit dehumanizing, but that's how I found out. My PSA levels never budged. It was when they went in and actually poked the gland that they found out something's wrong. We need to do a biopsy. And now, you know, here I am in chemotherapy. But, you know, it's with all the good wishes from people out there, you know, we're going to beat this. We're going at it guns blazing, and bring it on.
Well, Bob, thank you for sharing that with everybody, because it is near and dear to my heart with my dad having it. And everybody, you got to get the PSA, but like he said, you got to go get the physical exam too.
Hey, well, and Bob, we're going to put that link out shortly.
Yeah, we're going to put that link. Well, Bob, this time flew by. It's always special for us to have you on the show. We thank you so much. We're going to share, tell everybody, you know, send out on social media where you're going to be on the air this year, and we'll share those posts and everything. But thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Well, it's great to be with you guys again. I'd be glad to come on anytime. Right now, my work schedule is fluid. Since I didn't know what I would be available for, depending on how I would react to chemotherapy and whatever treatments might be involved after that. But I am hoping to be out and about, at least, going to Concours and going to races, hopefully, and catching up with friends and maybe working a little bit going forward. I had a nice invitation from Europe to do some GT work over there. And, I hope to be back on the airwaves sooner than later. But right now, I just can't give you a definite time schedule.
Well, you always got a seat here, buddy.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Bob. And good luck with your health and everything. And we'll be watching, and we'll stay in touch.
I appreciate it very much.
Take care. Best wishes, buddy.
All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody, tonight. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
We are very excited to have our next guest back on the show. One of the voices that we've all listened to over the years and one of the best.
He's not done.
I know, but I'm just saying he's a legendary voice in our sport and very excited to have him on the show. Bob Varsha, welcome back to Speed City.
Thanks very much, guys. It's been a long time. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, it has been a little while. Too long. We need more often.
We need you to find your way back to Austin again.
Hey, anytime. I love Austin.
Well, Bob, thanks for coming on. And, yeah, we want to talk to you about lots of things going on. I want to pick your brain a little bit on Formula One. And, in fact, let's start there. And what do you think about a couple things? Number one, the state of Formula One, and you know, at points last year, thinking of up through the French Grand Prix, it looked like a disaster, a meltdown, and people were saying Liberty Media was doing a bad job. And then beyond that, it turned out to really finish to be a great season.
Yeah, it did, and I expect more of that in the future, if only because the radical new rules coming on in 2021 are going to make next year kind of an interim year. So with mildly evolved cars and last year's tires, since the teams unanimously decided they don't like what Pirelli proposed for next year, I think it's going to be more the same. Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes will be dominant. Ferrari hopefully saw the error of their ways last year and will get some of that straightened out. And Charles Leclerc will be unleashed alongside Sebastian Vettel. And we all know that probably the best story last year was Red Bull Honda coming good. And young Mr. Verstappen could be a factor. So, you know, with that, the rest of the field will figure out how to approach this really interesting year because with a radical new car to be built in 2021, you've got to decide how to divide your resources to get ready for that while at the same time having a representative effort in 2020. So I think the biggest story next year is going to be driver contracts as much as anything else as everybody looks towards 2021.
That is a good point, because there's that you know, there's so many going to be up in the air. And you're right, with these young guys that we've got right now, a lot of young, exciting drivers. It's fun to watch. But
it's a great time in Formula One for young talent coming up. Absolutely.
Well, what do you think about the job that Liberty Media has done overall? You know, we've talked about the way they've gone more digital. That was the low hanging fruit. But what about the way they've handled everything else?
Well, you know, not being on the inside, I'll cut him some slack. Formula One is such a unique and peculiar business model, centered, of course, around Bernie Ecclestone, who ran it like his own personal fiefdom for so many years, did deals on the side, all sorts of palace intrigue, a lot of bluff and bluster. And now along comes Liberty Media, a corporate giant in the media business, who do things a certain way, a very different way, I'm sure, than the way Bernie did things. And so to maximize on their investment, they had to get used to Bernie's way of doing things and kind of gently try to turn that ship, which I'm sure is a lot like trying to turn a super tanker. It doesn't move quickly. But I will say they seem to have gotten an awful lot done. They'll get new deals in place. I think everybody realizes that a rising tide raises all boats, so they have to be cooperative to a certain extent. Perhaps a wrench in the works could be the fact that two of the key people, the commercial director Sean Bratches and Chase Carey, who's the CEO, if you will, are talking about moving on.
Yeah.
So we have the possibility of new faces, new philosophies, and so on coming on board, and that could be really interesting to watch. But I think, yeah, Liberty Media realized early on that this was a very different animal than they thought they were taking by the tail. They've had to adjust, and I think in large part they have.
I think I would agree with you that for the most part, when they first announced it, I mean, there was a lot of overseas, like, oh, my gosh, are we going to turn Formula One into NASCAR? Are they going to Americanize it too
WWE
much?
WWE or yeah, whatever.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then when they had the fireworks and the, what's the guy's name that does
the announcer,
the Rumble guy? I forgot his name. Anyway, they had all that, and everybody was thinking, are they going to really radically change the sport? And
you're talking about Michael Buffer?
Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. And all of that.
It's a very different personality.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people inside Formula One would agree that there was something needed. And whether it was that classic American razzmatazz or not, the United States remains the number one market in the world for motorsports. Formula One wanted to be there. Bernie wanted to be there with multiple races. Liberty Media wants to be there with multiple races. It hasn't happened yet, but I think the folks from Liberty have a much more flexible, business-like attitude when it comes to dealing with possibilities. And they embraced a lot of technologies, social media, and other things that Bernie really had no time for. And I think that's, on balance, helped Formula One a lot, particularly with companies like Red Bull and the car manufacturers and so on, who want to engage with a different kind of crowd than Bernie Ecclestone felt he was catering to.
And I think the business model that we're hearing Liberty Media work with is a big difference. We just saw in the news this week, Azerbaijan credits their income of over $500 million for last year's race being hosted in their locale. And that's not something that you would usually hear in the Bernie Ecclestone era. It was more, you know, they made some profit, but it wasn't anything crazy. And I think the model of a revenue share and helping with the ops cost has really changed it. I think we're going to see a big difference around that.
Yeah, well, Formula One has always been, a great feather in the cap of any country. How they go about getting a Formula One race varies from place to place, usually writing a big check out of the national treasury, which, of course, won't happen here in the United States. I saw those same numbers from Azerbaijan, and I think what they were talking about there was the income to the country, to to Baku as a city and the tourism and the boost they got from being on the Formula One stage. And yeah, it was a pretty staggering number over the short duration of that race thus far.
Yeah, you know what? That number, $500 million, is exactly the number, or within a few, that they've quoted here in Austin. Austin, you know, Austin hosts these mega conferences, South by Southwest and ACL. Mm-hmm. And I think it was ACL had a study done, and this was a few years ago. And then Bobby Epstein smartly grabbed that same company, did an apples-to-apples comparison. And the ACL Fest showed an impact, economic impact of $350 million to Austin. And Formula One had an over $500 million economic impact. And the circuit itself had an over $800 million impact on the city. And this is, you know, he still wrote the check to pay for the study, but it was an apples to apples. So there's probably some pretty good credibility to it. But similar number, about a half a billion dollars economic impact. I mean, those are pretty astounding numbers.
Yeah, that's a great argument to have in your pocket when you go to try to make arrangements for public support, even if it's not money, but just in-kind services, that sort of thing. There's not many events year after year that will produce that kind of return.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to ask you something about our American Formula One team. You know, the Haas F1 team came out of the gate, well, besides the wheels coming off in Australia a couple of years in a row, but they've come out and done an amazing job. And this past season, they really, really struggled with the tires. They talked about it, with the tiny little window of operating temperature in the tires, and never could quite get everything right.
Yeah.
What do you think about what they've done, and do you think that they're going to get back on track and continue that upward trajectory that they had for the first 3 years?
Well, I suppose, you know, one of the big drawbacks of having big early success is that sooner or later you're going to come up with something less and it's going to look like a total disaster. Having said that, yeah, the Haas team had their problems last year after a couple of seasons of surprisingly good results. You know, I think it's just fairly typical of the model that, you know, the lower tier teams, if you will, without denigrating anybody, if you're not one of the big three or four, then you're, you know, one of the seven dwarfs. And that can be tough. So, you know, where do you go when you've created this team, you've got your system down, you have your people in place, you have some early success, you try something, and it kind of blows up. And Haas was not the only team that had trouble with those tires last year. I mean, you look at the poor Williams squad. I mean, they just could not get out of their own way. And there were other teams up and down the grid that were complaining about the tires, which made it all the more interesting, I think, when Pirelli rolled out proposed tires for next year, and the teams all tried them and said, nope, you know, give us the 2019 tires.
Yeah.
I think Haas's problems are fixable. And I think Gene Haas and Gunther Steiner and all those good people certainly are more than smart enough to realize that, and we'll get some fixes made.
You know, I want to step back just a little bit because we talked about it earlier in the show a little bit, but what have you watched the full Netflix series Drive to Survive, number one? But also, I have seen over and over everybody from Formula One, outside Formula One, commentators talk about what a smart thing that was to try to embrace the United States audience. And just anecdotally, the people that in my sphere... I've had some people that I have friends or whatever that don't follow motorsports at all, but they say they absolutely love that Netflix series. And I personally
kind of behind the curtain.
Yeah, I think it was a brilliant move.
Yeah, I think so too. I saw the first season series. I haven't seen the second. I don't even know if it's released yet.
Yeah,
to be honest,
it's not out yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought it was interesting how Ferrari and Mercedes, who said no thanks the first year, took a look at what they did and said, oh, yeah, come on in. Yeah, we're all in for season two.
Yeah.
So it's obviously a good thing. You know, it's a famous movie director once said, you have to have conflict. You have to have that kind of abrasion, you know, the real life values going down. It's not all sweetness and light. It's not champagne and supermodels and super yachts and all that kind of thing and fast cars and blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of hard work, and there's a lot of conflict within the teams, personalities and so on. It's really, really difficult to compete in Formula One. Even if you're not competitive, it's hard just to be there. And, of course, Gunther Steiner comes off as Captain F-Bomb, and he's going to have to try to live that down. But, you know, you could just see the intensity. You could see how hard the drivers were trying and how it was going wrong time and again. It's just really, really difficult. And I thought that the Netflix series really caught the compelling nature of trying to work in that environment.
Yeah, I interviewed Gunther Steiner, and he said that he was actually kind of embarrassed about all that. But
I'm sure he was. Yeah.
Well, Bob, I want to talk. We've got about 2.5-3 minutes left. I want to talk a couple things. One, I want to talk. I want to talk about your health, because I know that there's been a lot of people worried about you, and you've shared quite a bit on social media about your diagnosis with prostate cancer. And when I saw that, it was just a kick in the gut. I know it's a very survivable form of cancer. My dad had that for many years, but I'm really excited to see, and we're going to share the GoFundMe page, that it's doing really well.
We're not just sharing, we're challenging everybody. We made a donation tonight at Speed City, and we want our fans to pop in there and support the best Uncle Bob anybody could have.
I really appreciate that, guys. It's, you know, as you can imagine, a diagnosis of prostate cancer kind of turns your life upside down.
Yeah.
And so I've had to make a lot of quick adjustments to my work schedule, to my personal schedule, to my family schedule, to seek out the best doctors I could find, and I think I've found them. The support from everybody out there has been just fabulous. You know, I thought for a while about trying to keep all this quiet, but then I thought, why? No. Why am I doing that? It's going to get out sooner or later, and there's so much good that can be done if I put my story out there, as my colleague Brian Till did before me, saying, look, guys, this can happen to you. Don't rely on the traditional, you know, don't wait to talk to your doctor, putting it off. Get checked. Don't rely on the traditional red flag for prostate cancer indication, which is your PSA test in the blood. Get the digital rectal exams. They're a little bit dehumanizing, but that's how I found out. My PSA levels never budged. It was when they went in and actually poked the gland that they found out something's wrong. We need to do a biopsy. And now, you know, here I am in chemotherapy. But, you know, it's with all the good wishes from people out there, you know, we're going to beat this. We're going at it guns blazing, and bring it on.
Well, Bob, thank you for sharing that with everybody, because it is near and dear to my heart with my dad having it. And everybody, you got to get the PSA, but like you said, you got to go get the physical exam too.
Hey, Bob, we're going to put that link out shortly.
Yeah, we're going to put that link. Well, Bob, this time flew by. It's always special for us to have you on the show. We thank you so much. We're going to tell everybody, you know, we'll send out on social media where you're going to be on the air this year, and we'll share those posts and everything. But thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Well, it's great to be with you guys again. I'd be glad to come on anytime. Right now, my work schedule is fluid. Since I didn't know what I would be available for, depending on how I would react to chemotherapy and whatever treatments might be involved after that. But I am hoping to be out and about, at least, going to Concours and going to races, hopefully, and catching up with friends and maybe working a little bit going forward. I had a nice invitation from Europe to do some GT work over there. And, I hope to be back on the airwaves sooner than later. But right now, I just can't give you a definite time schedule.
Well, you always got a seat here, buddy.
Yeah. Well,
thanks
a lot.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Bob. And good luck with your health and everything. And we'll be watching, and we'll stay in touch.
I appreciate it very much.
You
take
bet.
Care.
Best wishes, buddy.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, tonight. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,